It sounds like the epitome of the foreclosure crisis. There's a condo complex in Roxbury where all 9 units are in default. But dig a little deeper and there may be another story to tell. The condos had been on the market for months. Then suddenly, all of them sold within a week for about $1 million above the asking price. WBUR's Kurt Nickisch has been looking into this case in a joint investigation with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting based at Boston University, and he's here now. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning, Bob.
So tell us what's up with this project on Cobden Street in Roxbury.
Well, Bob, first, have you ever heard of the term straw buyer?
Well, in the case of gun purchases, straw purchases are when someone else buys a gun for someone in order to avoid a background check, right?
Right.
So how's that apply here?
Well, same idea, except with real estate. Here's property attorney David Camille.
A straw buyer is somebody whose income, assets, and credit are utilized by an individual to obtain mortgage financing.
And this type of mortgage scheme has been on the rise in other parts of the country recently. And a former FBI investigator who we'll hear from in a minute says this one property seems to have some of those same characteristics.
Well, place this in Boston for us, if you would, Kurt. Where exactly is Cobden Street?
So just up from Eggleston Square in Roxbury. It's a one-way, a little rundown. Most of the triple-deckers there need paint. But there is a group of nice-looking buildings there, a condo complex with 9 units in all.
I was actually excited about the project because it was one of the areas that wasn't targeted before by developers.
Elena Santana was the realtor for the condos. She was representing a seller named Arthur Chu Jr. He's a Boston architect. He's done work for the city, for the state. But he says the Roxbury property was a personal investment. He took out a $1.5 million loan and renovated a house on Compton Street and put up 2 new buildings next to it. Santana listed each of the condos for no more than $350,000.
We have no concern whatsoever to sell the project.
But that was June of 2006, and Bob, you know what happened then. The housing market had turned. Santana says soon it was clear there were no buyers in Chu's price range anymore.
And maybe he didn't expect that market would go down the hill, and he would basically be at the edge of losing everything.
Chu did not lose everything on this investment. He wouldn't talk on tape for this story, but he told us that a Brockton mortgage broker named Leo Desiree offered him nearly $3 million for the whole thing. Interestingly, that's roughly what you get if you added up all of the asking prices of the condos.
Okay, I'll give you that it seems like a generous offer for something that had been languishing on the market for a while, but why did it raise red flags?
Well, get this. In the same week that Arthur Chu is closing the deal with Leo Desiree, each of the condos suddenly sells. In fact, 8 of them change hands in a single day. The New England Center for Investigative Reporting, based at Boston University, extensively reviewed these sales by looking at the records at the Registry of Deeds. And what the center found is that each sold for roughly $100,000 more on average than Chu's original listing price. One low-income woman, Annette Pierre, bought 4 of them, each from a different lender. She got $1.7 million in all, no money down.
I don't like the fact that they're all the speed in which it is, the speed in which the transactions take place.
Dick Egan is that former FBI investigator.
I don't like that. I think that those would raise questions in my mind as an investigator. How did a property that couldn't sell all of a sudden sell so quickly?
Well, we asked the buyers. Annette Pierre said, talk to Leo Desiree. He was in charge. What's more, most of the condo buyers we could reach had ties to Desiree. But when we caught up to him, he didn't want to talk.
Sir, you asked me several times and I said no comments. Have an appointment with me with my attorney, then we'll talk.
Well, Desiree's attorney said no to that.
Well, no answers there then, but I'm not sure I completely understand. Who was selling the condos off, Arthur Chu or Leo Desiree?
That's what's bizarre about this. Neither Chu nor Desiree shows up on the condo sales documents. Now, Chu says that Leo Desiree convinced him to do something that's fairly unusual, to put the condos into a legal entity, and then instead of selling the property, just transferring ownership of that entity. Chu says Desiree's attorney, quote, handled everything.
So what's the significance?
Well, it's unusual, for one, but what it also means is that the ownership transfer didn't have to be recorded at the Registry of Deeds, where all of the condo sales were being filed. And what's really odd, the records say that some condos sold before Chu had given up ownership. That shouldn't be possible, but that's what the records say. For his part, Chu denies knowing anything about any of these other sales.
Okay, who eventually moved into these condos?
Well, this is where the story gets even stranger. Bob, let me introduce you to Judana Smith. She's in a new apartment now, but she used to rent one of the Cobden Street condos.
I just loved the apartment. I had two bathrooms, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops. I loved it.
At the time, she was unemployed and getting Section 8 housing assistance. Many places don't want those tenants, won't take their vouchers, but this place didn't seem to mind. And then one day, she got mail. She didn't, actually. It was addressed to the owner, apparently. The other tenants in the building were getting similar mail. First mortgage bills, then foreclosure notices. Turns out the whole property was going into default, condo by condo.
Mortgage bills, foreclosure notices, where was her money going? Who was she paying rent to?
We don't know. In fact, we know for sure that for at least some of the condos, not a single mortgage payment was ever made to the bank. However, the property manager for Judana's and all the other condos told us he was working for Leo Desiree.
So let's go over this again. A bunch of condos change hands at prices and at a clip that doesn't seem consistent with how the market is going at that moment. Then the condos are rented out, but that cash flow, apparently partially funded by taxpayers because it was Section 8, some of it at least was Section 8 money, may not have been going toward the mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. And the gigantic loser here, taxpayers for one, but the mortgage lenders are the big losers. They're the ones who financed the 9 condos, some at over $400,000 each. But now, for instance, one condo sold recently at auction for only about $80,000. Some of those mortgage lenders are now out of business. Of course, this hasn't been great for the Roxbury neighborhood either. Squatters moved into some of the Cobden Street condominiums. Was this a case of straw buyers where someone uses someone else to get financing to buy a property and then sells it for more? We don't know. Leo Desiree did lose his mortgage broker license in a civil suit, a separate case that involved an apparent straw buyer and inflated deed. But as far as we know, no authority has ever investigated this case on Cobden Street.
Well, Kurt Nikisch, thanks very much for following the money in this very convoluted case, which leaves many questions still unanswered. Thanks again.
Sure thing.
The New England Center for Investigative Reporting, based at Boston University, is one of the nation's first nonprofit investigative reporting collaboratives focused on local and regional issues. For this story, the center partnered with New England Cable News, in addition to Kurt Nikisch and WBUR.